Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary
with David Slack. Morena, David. How are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm well. You?
Oh, very good. Thank you. It's nice to chat to you. I guess that we can still say Happy New Year, although it's the end of January, but it's our first chat with you in a wee while. And a lot has happened. We're here talking about Omicron and some of the big political decisions and changes that we've seen in the last wee while around that, particularly yesterday, the government announcing its phased rollout for how they will be tackling Omicron. What have been some of your big takeaways from what we've heard and this new sort of stage of handling the pandemic?
There's plenty of reason to get nervous when you hear those numbers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's worth remembering that you're far more likely to be in those numbers if you're not vaccinated at all, you're not boosted, if you're not wearing a mask. You know, if you do all of those things and proceed carefully, you've got a pretty good chance of not getting this thing, and you don't want to be getting it. You know, it's not the notion that we might all sort of have ourselves a measles party and to get ourselves proper herd immunity is a wrong and dangerous one, I think. You know, there are unknowns to this thing. If you're immunocompromised, it's especially hazardous. And there's one point in particular that I think doesn't get as much attention as it might warrant, and didn't really yesterday in the announcement, about which we, you know, there's plenty more to say, and I dare say we'll come back to it in a moment. But I think it's worth saying this. It didn't talk much about long COVID, and that is the potentially the thing that's going to be hanging over us with malign effect for quite a long time, because the people get it. A lot of them come out of it fine. Quite a number find themselves months and years later. Well, we're only into the couple of
the
years.
Second year.
You get my point. Yeah,
I do, yeah.
With all kinds of lingering symptoms that are not great at all. And it, you can compare it to conditions like, say, ME, where it becomes really frustrating and difficult for anyone who's living with that. Because if you have something like a heart attack, you go into hospital and the clinicians know exactly what to do with you because they've dealt with many, many of them and they know the science back and front. But conditions like ME and like this have large areas of the unknown, especially this one, because it's very new. And so there's doubt that you actually have this thing and there's doubt about what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the notion of not being able to be taken care of when you've got a really debilitating condition is awful. Now, that's bad enough if we're just talking about it happening to one person. We're talking about maybe tens of thousands of people. And, you know, it's going to be dreadful. So, you know, above all, I maintain, what we need to be doing is trying to get the fewest people exposed to the virus and infected by it. And therefore, I think that the cautious approach we've been taking all the way along is really desirable. And it makes people frustrated. But if you look at where we've got to, and that is to say 175,000 deaths in the UK, 52 deaths here, it kind of, and admittedly, about, 12 times the population there, but even allowing for that.
Yeah, it's very different.
This cautious approach, far better way to live. Also, we have lived with a great deal more freedom of motion, even including last year's goddamn lockdown forever in Auckland, than they have in the UK, which is all just a kind of a permanently hobbled arrangement.
I did want to ask you about something that's been obviously very significant for the BFM community, and that is, you know, the effect on the arts and music and the events sector.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to be having, as you just said, no one wants to be having unsafe events at the moment. That's literally the last thing anybody wants. But what we're seeing that is a crucial difference this time is there is not the ongoing support in terms of a wage subsidy or some sort of targeted relief package for those particular sectors beyond admittedly a very good relief package for folks who had a gig that has been organised and is now cancelled, but that is a very sort of finite and specific type of relief. Do you expect, or would you hope to expect, that we see some targeted support come out from the government? There's been a huge outcry from the community this week.
Well, first thing, I emphatically agree. Second, I'm not sure, and that's a little bit baffling. telling when you consider that this is a government that in many respects shows a lot of enthusiasm and support for things of a cultural dimension. But Jesus, show us the money, you know. And they're compared to the amount of money that was used to keep the economic engine purring at the beginning of the lockdown, and the ongoing great enrichment that has created for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
You would think you could find the tens of millions at most that would be required to make this happen. And it's really frustrating that we're not seeing something front and centre about it.
Mm. And I mean, it has been pointed out a lot this week as well, considering that it was the music sector particularly that was used as a huge drive for the vaccination effort over summer, you know, the two shots for summer campaign. And obviously we're now going and getting boosters, which is really great. But there is this idea that, you know, perhaps this community was held up to be the reason and the thing you'd want to go and get vaccinated for, and now that they are unable to function for very valid reasons, there's not necessarily that support net for them there, which I think people are finding a little bit galling at the moment. So it will be very interesting to see. Hopefully we get some movement from the government on that one. But I did also want to talk to you about hospitality.
I just want to interject abso-bloody-lutely to everything you just said. Anyway, go on.
I was going to say, with hospitality, we've seen overseas in Australia that they've had a similar issue where at the start there was not, you know, you were able to go to a restaurant or a cafe still during the Omicron outbreak, but once cases got really high, people were self-regulating and not wanting to go into spaces where there was a higher risk of them getting the virus, and that was a huge economic impact on those businesses as well. Have we heard much about this discussion from the government yet? Is that something that we're hearing or that you think we need to be hearing about?
In what terms do you mean? What do you want to see the government doing?
I feel like that's not been acknowledged yet very much. Would you agree with that? We're yet to see that effect in New Zealand, but the hospitality sector is also probably going to be seeing some huge... they already are seeing huge economic impacts, but as we get deeper into our Omicron outbreak.
Yeah. Again, you know, the model was established right at the start, really effectively and reassuringly, I thought, that said, we'll borrow what we need to make sure that things run okay. And that worked fine in a, you know, possibly somewhat loose fashion. At the outset. But the follow through to specific areas now would be the logical thing to do. It would be for this in particular. But there's a kind of a muteness that's a little bit perturbing. And you know, not to go on about it, but then, you know, Bernard Hickey has done terrific work on this, and he made a post yesterday that's really worth looking at that lays out chapter and verse where the advantage went and all of that spending and just how well business has done out of this. And, you know, there is a real argument for maybe clawing back some of that to use to now apportion to the specific areas that are hurting or will be hurting. Because, yes, I absolutely agree. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be a real muting now for a couple of months and maybe 4 months because, you know, the strategy here, and I think it is the right one, in order to flatten the curve, is to let this thing be not so much a hurricane as a long storm. And so you will be in for some months of it, and for small businesses who have already, you know, hospitality businesses who have already struggled for quite a time, especially in Auckland, that's going to be really hard. Actually, can I just throw in this too? It has been, you know, striking. A lot of friends from Auckland have been coming back from holiday saying, you know, in the various parts of the country they've been to, saying, man, people, you tell them what we were having for the last 4 months, and they really didn't seem to realise what it was like. And, you know...
you don't know, man, you weren't there.
It's hard all over, but, you know, we went through a time here, actually, and a bit of bloody recognition that wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be interesting. Well, hopefully we do see some targeted support packages. I'm sure there'll be people, I mean, we'll all keep pushing till we do get some word on it at least. We might have to come back to rapid antigen tests another day. I'm sure there'll be plenty of time to talk about that in the coming weeks, David. But it's been a pleasure to have you back on the show, and we will chat to you in a few weeks' time. So take care until then.
And you, Rachel.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
With